Welcome to Directly Speaking, a direct-to-consumer marketers podcast. Our podcast features marketing leaders in the direct-to-consumer and e-commerce space. We get to learn a bit about their brands and the stories behind them, compare notes on trends and challenges in the industry, learn how they approach their marketing journey, and hopefully a little bit about them personally. I'm your host, Marcus Lancaster, head of direct-to-consumer strategy at Quad, and I'm very excited about today's guest, Franz Chimbin, co-founder and CEO of Covision Media. Hailing from South Tyrol, Italy, Franz is a Fulbright scholar who studied economics and management in Italy, Spain, and Switzerland. He's worked throughout the world for Samsung, Accenture, PwC, and various startups in the self-driving retail industry. In 2019, working together with other entrepreneurs, industrialists, and investors, he founded Covision Lab, an R&D hub for computer vision and AI, where they attempt to solve challenges for various industries. This past year, Covision Media was spun off from Covision Lab. Covision Media is an innovative 3D scanning company that brings effective scanning to present solutions to the marketing ecosystem. Franz, thank you for joining me today. I'm so glad you're making the time.
Marcus, thanks for having me.
We've got a lot to dive in today, and I'm really excited to talk to you, partially because of our mutual passion for the mountains. But let's start with Covision Media. Tell me about what's unique about your brand and what you guys do.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, you said it in the introduction, we are rooted in AI, machine learning, computer vision research. So basically AI applied to images. And we converted that into a product, which is basically a so-called 3D scanner. You can think of it, you know, as a multi-camera system, bunch of sensors. You place an object inside, let's say a shoe or a bag. You press a button, at the end of the day, a high-quality 3D model comes out of it. Now, 3D is not something new under the sun. What makes us special is, of course, the way we get to it, the highest quality we have. So each asset is relatable. Each 3D is relatable, which means that it presents marketers and sales teams incredible solutions to make most use of this 3D model that can be used in various ways, in 2D, in video, contextual photo, contextual video, AR, VR. And it's just a great basis to work off of.
So let me get this straight. We are going to essentially, in the simplest terms, the 3D scanning that your technology enables allows a single scan to be used for a variety of different marketing ecosystems.
Absolutely. So basically, you can think of it, you have a 3D scan once of your product of the highest quality, and you can derive a 2D photo that is classical product photo that goes online, maybe. You can derive a video from it. You can even animate videos from it to make kind of a marketing or social media concept out of it. So it allows you to basically get all of this right away with one only capturing of the object. And the traction is great so far. So we're working with brands like Adidas, with Zara. We work with the largest tech companies in the world. And so far, it's been going well because I think we solve a real pain point. 3D models are wanted by the industry, but so far it was very tough to get to them at scale. What has changed now is just the automation making at that scale for every product that these large companies, our customers, and you know, I guess your customers have.
Thank you for saying that, because for full disclosure, we should share for the audience that Quad is in partnership with Covision Media as the executional partner for execution of your scanning in North America. So, you know, public service announcement, as it were, that we are partners. So and happy to do it. And you're right, that does solve a significant pain point, because marketers are really challenged these days with a need for imagery for use across multiple marketing deliverables. Your product enables them to scan it once and use it many times.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we talk to many people in the industry, creatives, those who do the operational side, those who then do more the strategy side, at the brands, at the retailers and so on, but also the content creation studios. And everybody says, I think these last 2 years, I heard it so often, do more with less, right? And of course, everybody's just thinking, how can I do even more with less in a sense, less budget? And the truth is, however, if you approach this now with this new technology that we developed from a perspective where you, again, you do it once and then you have multiple applications from that one highest quality, basically a digital twin of the real product, I think it opens up many opportunities. Also many opportunities to get creative in new ways. We didn't, and probably we should discussed this also in the realm of AI and what is possible in different backgrounds and different scenes and so on. And also in the realm maybe of the headsets that are coming up, right? I mean, that are coming up, that have been launched but need to be developed further, Meta Quest 3 or the Apple Vision Pro. These new devices and the worlds they bring with, they need to be populated, right? And you need to produce content at scale, whether it be 3D or other type of content. And so that's what we try to make happen. That's what we try to contribute, yes.
And you're right about content at scale. Every marketer is really challenged with that, especially in the apparel industry. And that's probably a natural fit as to why shoe manufacturers really were early adopters of your technology, because that enables them to do things like the virtual try-on, et cetera.
Absolutely. I mean, virtual try-on is one topic. So basically, for those of you who don't know this, you take out your phone, you open up an app, and you try on that shoe virtually, so to speak. You can also do virtual try-on in stores. So you have mirrors, you walk up to them, and you can try on certain shoes before you ask somebody to get them from the basement, for instance, you know, efficiencies, and of course, allowing customers to engage with the product from remote, basically. And this drives engagement rates. This drives and also conversion rates, and hopefully it also reduces return rates. And it's one application. Another topic is size and fit. Basically, you know, do I buy the right size for me? This is also very important. Hence, we as a company, we measure the object that we scan. So we go down to a 0.01 millimeter level. It's very accurate what we measure. And this helps then also people choosing the right size. And these are sort of great applications that the footwear industry was, an early adopter of. The other truth is shoes are, I would say, a relatively easy object to capture because it's rather rigid. And here it's getting a bit more technical, but basically it's a difference if I scan a piece of clothing, which is deformable, versus a piece of, you know, footwear, which is rigid, so-called rigid items. And we see much more adoptions first in the rigid items part because it's also easier to scale. However, we have lots of new updates coming up. We just recently launched a new scanner that finally is able to handle also deformable objects, and we'll see lots of traction coming from there as well. We just try to have these brands, right? Yeah.
I want to talk about the future a little bit, but let's stay in the present for a sec, because I really want to understand. First of all, obviously, very technologically driven, presumably expensive technology to implement as a single marketer. But in partnership with, for example, Quad, you can potentially engage with at a smaller scale in an easy manner, and that's a benefit. What are some brands that should be considering this? If I'm a marketer, what kind of companies selling what kind of products should really be considering it, in your opinion?
Yes. I mean, first of all, I wouldn't make the distinction small or large companies. At the end of the day, some companies might just decide to say, hey, I outsource this. And then actually the partnership that we have with you guys, and maybe in the future, this is developing further, is actually perfect, because we are a technology provider. I mean, we are focused on making the best 3D scanning technology in the world. However, there's a whole process, of course, of delivering then a 3D asset to a customer, which in our case means logistics, styling, scanning, of course, quality control, post-production. Those are all topics to consider. And working with somebody who did this already for, let's say, the photography industry or the video industry, I think helps a lot. That being said, I think the customers that are perfect for this, of course, those who have, I would say, rather high value physical product, doesn't need to be from the footwear industry, although footwear, fashion, that's where we come from, but also toys, tools industry, not only the brands themselves, but the retailers. And we get lots of traction recently and lots of requests from the gaming industry, which is interesting as well. Of course, they need high quality, reality grade 3D assets to populate their games. And so this is another industry that is excited about what we are doing, for instance.
Tell me more about the gaming industry. So what kind of assets are they gonna scan there?
Yeah, so if you think, for instance, and by the way, I'm by no means a big gamer, but for instance, you have companies that produce these action games or these shooter games and so on. Of course, you even like the sports games like soccer or hockey and so on. You try to have, of course, the most close a visual representation that lifelike, exactly. Sorry, a lifelike representation of the real world. And so you need to be always becoming more what the marketers say photorealistic, so more close to reality as possible. And of course, 3D scanning is one way how those game development studios produce assets, and they also are looking for increasing the quality of the scans while generating efficiencies on how to get there.
So that's fascinating. I hadn't thought of the gaming industry. Okay, so I'm a marketer, and obviously there's a lot of demands on my on doing more with less. I have to develop a lot of content, deliver it across many channels. And so the ability to have one scan that I can use in multiple ways is pretty intuitive that there's a huge benefit to taking cost out of my business. I'm guessing that with some of the early adopters of this technology, Adidas Europe and Zara, et cetera, they've probably measured how that's performed from a marketing perspective. Have they seen lift in terms of how they sell at all?
Yeah, so the main first introduction of this was in the product detail page in e-commerce, either integrating the 3D assets like Zara is doing or integrating the video and photo from 3D in beautiful contextual backgrounds like Adidas is doing. And they have seen, what they tell us, quite a strong increase in add to basket and in conversion rate, which ultimately is, I think, a reflection of the customer feeling more at ease with something that looks like it was captured in real life. Of course, it's a reflection of increased engagements with the object itself. Let's say if you can virtually try on an object or a product, of course, you have more confidence in maybe buying that and you choose the right product from the get-go.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And you say bags are another area that has really started to be adopted, and I can see a tremendous benefit in that space.
You're absolutely right, Marcus. So the same companies that we work with basically said, hey, can you also do backpacks and bags, right? It's the same use case. And of course, that is possible. We had to do quite some iteration on our hardware concept because the scanning is not the same if you have a deformable object. You basically need to keep that in place. When we scan shoes, there is a possibility that the shoe is basically scanned in multiple poses. So that represented an innovation that we had to do. But it's absolutely possible. And I think especially on the bags, which often come with lots of leather, with lots of little other types of materials, the quality is very important as well. And it just works, I would say, in the absolute same way.
I'm sure I can actually see an easy way why a lifelike reproduction of a handbag would lead to higher and increased conversion for the marketer. You started to mention a few things about some of the additional improvements to your technology. Where are you going? What's next? And how do you see the technology evolving?
Yeah, so I think there's two big areas, Marcus. So the one is, of course, our core technology we need to fulfill our vision of being able to, out of the gate, scan every and all products by means of one click at the highest quality. I said before, making examples of glasses, for instance, so everything that is very transparent or has so-called mirror-like reflections is very, very tough to do. This is a research area in the space of 3D AI, and we're leveraging latest techniques. We're contributing even to them on the research side. And of course, we're trying to integrate them into our pipeline, and hopefully step by step, we're getting better there. The other big topic is, I think, everything that concerns generative AI. Now, of course, everybody's talking about generative AI and so on and so forth, but I think a clear distinction needs to be made between generative AI in 3D space and generative AI, let's say, in text, where we saw pioneering products like ChatGPT from OpenAI. The same is true for video, Sora from OpenAI, or Midjourney on the 2D side, which, of course, incredible products, but they all had the advantage that they could be trained on large, large data sets of high-quality data, right? So basically, yes, an OpenAI trained ChatGPT on the internet. On the 3D side, that is not that easy because those data sets don't exist. So the models can be as amazing as possible. if you don't have a data set, it's tough to do. From a product perspective or marketer's perspective, of course, you could take then, a text to 3D type of product and just basically create new 3D models based on existing assets that you have. Or this is also very interesting for product designers, for instance. They could leverage their existing knowledge of a company. Maybe let's say at Adidas, they just celebrated their 75th birthday. You can leverage 75 years of, let's say, data and ideas to then generate the new products which are ready for production. Those are some of the ideas that that are around, very tough problems to solve. But I would say you're absolutely right. We are there at the forefront and trying to be as fast and as good as we can. It's exciting because this field, so much is happening and we're learning from other companies, from other entrepreneurs, from research departments. So it's always great interactions. Now, it might be that this vision takes 5 years to fulfill, maybe 3 years, maybe 10 years. I don't know, but we're working on it.
Well, you kind of lead to a question that I honestly don't understand. And that is the nuance between completely computer generated artificial intelligence 3D model and your technology. How would you answer what's the difference? What makes CoVision's technology better?
I mean, first of all, so AI can only act, again, as I said, on if it has been trained on a data set. So let's maybe just make first the distinction between computer generated and, of course, us to some extent, it's also processed on a computer. But in general, in the market, the distinction is computer-generated 3D means, CGI, which is basically often also lots of manual labor at the computer to artificially generate that product, okay? But also with other techniques. And then we do the scanning part, which starts from the actual physical object. So the difference is, do you start from a physical object, like an actual product or not? So that's the distinction between scanning and CGI. And then, of course, AI can act on top of that. And a good example might be, latest 3D AI models. It's artificially generated to some extent as well. So that is where training is happening for all these advancements in 3D AI. And, of course, with limited results because the underlying data is weak. Now, if the data were of the highest quality, reliable, maybe scanned exclusively on our scanners, it could be a different conversation in the future. We want to contribute to that because I think that's a... It will deliver a lot of value. What value exactly, I think we will discover it in the next years.
Still figuring it out. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
All right, well, what's the story? How did you get here? You were CoVision Labs and you went to CoVision Media. Tell me about that evolution and how did you land on the 3D scanning technology?
Yeah, so basically when we started out, so I was in San Francisco before and I was working in the computer vision machine learning field already. I think you said in introduction, so it was self-driving cars or the retail industry. It always had to do with making sense out of images and kind of deriving decisions from it. I wanted to come back to, let's say, Europe and start something. So we started CoVision Lab, and CoVision Lab was really focused and is still, it exists, on solving hard industrial problems by means of computer vision and state-of-the-art AI. And one of the problems we stumbled upon was photogrammetry, basically a classical way of stitching images together to get to a 3D asset. Lots of companies have used this. Also, some of our customers, they have used this in the past. It always had a glass ceiling in terms of quality it could get. It always looked plasticky. It needed lots of post-production. And it has been around for 10 years, and it was a dusty subject. Like, nobody really wanted to work on this. There's so many cooler, easier topics out there in terms of AI and vision. Why do it? No wonder everybody's going to self-driving cars. And we said, okay, we like hard problems. That's why we founded the research lab. And that's why we started working on the software first to crack the problem of reliability, to crack the problem of, high quality in 3D scans. And once we saw that working from a research perspective, we said, okay, now we need to build the hardware around it to make this work ideally 24/7 for the largest companies in the world who have tight production schedule. And so that is what came afterwards. And once we saw the traction then with the customers that we discussed before, then we said, okay, now we're really onto something. Let's spin it off. The research lab can do research and there's even an institute at the local university with collaborations with, I would say, Meta and NVIDIA and so on. So really high quality stuff. but we need to make it a company to be able to scale a bit faster.
What I loved to in your comment is the fact that it's hard is one of the reasons why it's rewarding.
Absolutely. It's also, you know, high risk, of course, but I would say in general, that's where the value is. It's also, I would say, one of the learnings of my trajectory, so to speak.
So what's the biggest challenge that you faced through your time at CoVision?
I think the biggest challenge was, now speaking really of the 3D scanning, I wasn't an expert in the e-commerce industry. I hadn't, you know, been involved in industry or worked at a big brand, or I don't come from content creation, or I'm not a marketer even. So the challenge was, okay, does this what we are building actually, you know, I knew there was a problem in the industry, but how big is it? And are people willing to, you know, to pay for a solution that we are building? Yeah. So that is what kept me up day and night. And I was very anxious to find out, unsure if the investments would pay off. And so there was really 1.5-2 years where we researched on the software side and tried to come up with a solution, where I always had this thought, okay, why don't companies just use the computer generated, you know, by hand generated 3D assets that come anyway already as part of a design process? You know, if yes. somebody at a big footwear company is designing a new shoe, you know, they partially design it in 3D. And I was always thinking, why don't they just take this 3D asset and put it in e-com and derive everything from it? The truth is, the quality is just not there, and it looks plasticky. Lots of post-production involved, so lots of cost. And we were lucky at some point as well that we were sticking to it. And at some point, we were also lucky that somebody found us and was willing to work with us and give us a shot. At the end of the day, you know, in the beginning, it's a lot about trust in the people. And they were thinking, especially Adidas and Nurek, the two first customers that we worked with, or La Sportiva here out of the Dolomites, Gore-Tex, that we could be onto something, and they were willing to invest in our product, and that's how it started.
Fascinating. Well, you know, you mentioned luck, and I guess luck plays a role in every successful entrepreneur, but I think there's that... luck is where preparation meets opportunity quote that I don't
serendipity,
remember
right?
it, but some truth to it.
Absolutely. I mean, some things, of course, need to go right, and you need to be, you know, just being consistent in also getting to a point where you have a product, and then there's always, I would say, there's always a luck component, but luck needs to fall on a fertile ground. You're absolutely right.
Yes, I love it. All right. Well, so now the one last question about CoVision, because you kind of alluded to it a moment ago. You had a couple of early partners, La Sportiva, Adidas, Zara, et cetera. But, you know, part of your challenge is probably also telling your story, because many brands aren't aware of the, you know, value of the product that you provide.
Absolutely. So we always come in, and I think that the conversation has changed. 2-3 years ago, it was much more difficult. Now, companies often have a 3D team. They have a digital team in some cases even. So they know more or less what's up. They maybe have done some tests already, which is a great starting point, because now they know the pain points. 2-3 yeah. years ago, only a few companies, only the absolute innovators would even know those pain points, because they tried to do it, right? And so I think that was the challenge going in. And of course, the story needs to be told of what the product can do. And I think, to mention the partnership, I think this is great, actually, because of course you have a much wider reach. You have trusted relationships already with big, big brands out there. And maybe you're even in a position to tell the story better, and also to a better audience. At the end of the day, that's what matters. And so I'm very excited what the future holds.
Well, I would add from a quad perspective that, one, we're so happy to be in partnership with you. And what you've built is spectacular. And as mentioned, brands are feeling those pain points now. So... the conversation falls on fertile ground, and you guys have just built a fantastic technology. So my compliments to you.
Yeah. Thanks, Marcus. And we're still at day zero, or day one, I would say. Still lots of stuff to work on and to improve.
Well, okay, let's talk about you personally, Franz, because, you know, you obviously have had a very interesting career with Samsung, Accenture, PwC, et cetera. How do you find working for CoVision, you know, kind of more of a smaller entrepreneurial approach to some of these larger organizations? You know, what do you like? What do you don't like? What's different?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say really what I don't like. It's something that I always wanted. I think you also need to be the kind of person who likes it, who is willing to take a chance. First of all, I always have to say I had great partners along the journey. I mean, without people around me, both on the technical side, but also from an investor perspective, certainly would have been, you cannot do this alone. I mean, that is a myth. But I love the fact that there's so many micro decisions each day, and you just have to get the majority of them right. There would always be some of them that are wrong, but you can react quickly to it. And when you have a small ship that you can steer, you really can act, you know, on a daily basis to it, which I think is exciting to see just the speed at what things are possible. Of course, at the larger organization, like I was working for Accenture, yes, there was in consulting, but you couldn't, you know, turn the ship around in like 1-2 right. days. It doesn't really work. But of course, it was very formative, and I learned a lot and built a great network. And the most exciting part, I think, about the days is just working with the team, building a product. It almost feels like being a child and playing Lego. And the other part is to realize how many other entrepreneurs or other people out there are willing to help out along the way, right? You ask for favors, and people are just, you know, opening up themselves and their mind and their knowledge, their ideas, because they want to help you along the way. So I think that is the fantastic part. It brings us the best in humans, I would say.
I so agree. I love that. And you're right, because people want to help. And in fact, if I were to list the things I'm most thankful for in my career, it would start with the people that I've been able to get to know.
Absolutely.
What gives you inspiration? You know, let's talk about stepping a little bit away from CoVision. What recharges your batteries?
I mean, recharging the batteries, it's easy because we live in one of the most beautiful mountain areas, I would say, in the world, in the north of Italy. So just being outside nature with my family, first and foremost, so I have a wife and a newborn. And so that is, of course, taking up all my energy, all my life. Sometimes sure. It's recharging the batteries. Sometimes it's, you know, that little that is left in the tank that is even drained further. But overall, I'm a big outdoors person, and luckily live surrounded in a place where it's easy to get lost in the outdoors.
Yes, I must say, looking at some of the photos you shared, I was a bit envious.
Yeah, I mean, there's always time, Marcus, to come over.
You are a big hiker. What else? What other hobbies do you have? And what kind of hikes do you like to do?
So I have, of course, a natural limit. So I would say Via Ferrata is the maximum I can do. Like free solo type of stuff is not for me. I'm not that crazy. Love to again, everything that's related to a bit physical activity, even the fact that we are, you know, working on technology requires us to stay behind a computer for most of the day. So it's swimming, playing football, or how you guys call it, soccer, lots of tennis. And of course, I mean, it goes without saying, spending as much time as possible with family and friends.
I love it. And what kind of media do you like to consume, Franz? Are you a reader or you're a podcast guy?
I like podcasts. That is true. I'm not somebody who is very consistent in the sense that, I have 1, 2, 3 shows that I always listen to. But I like podcasts. It's, I think, an amazing format, especially to convey, the human side, especially on some topics that I then love, which yes is technology, but it's also history and philosophy and so on. It's a great way to consume it. I'm of course addicted to LinkedIn and a bit of X, just because it's also amazing for business, but I have to say I spend quite some time on that. And then, yes, whenever I can, I try to read a few pages of some book. But I have to say, lately, I wish I would have more time or make more time for that, because at the end of the day, it's always about that.
I feel the same way you do. That's awesome. Well, all right, one more question for you. If you could tell your younger self one principle that's been essential to your success today, what would it be?
It would be, actually, it's a very interesting question, but I would say it would be to not get distracted by hypes, or really trying to figure out what is actually true and what not. And this was a big learning when I was in the self-driving car industry before. So I was very young, starting out there. And you hear left and right all these also big time CEOs saying and this was back in 2015, 2016, in 2 years, in 1.5 years, by 2019, we will be fully self-driving. But you're actually working on the technology and you know that, you know, it can't be true, but they're saying it, they respect that. So, of course, it brings a lot of stress. Stress in a sense, of course, you want to have success. And then, of course, this changes your timeline and you think constantly, others are so much faster, others are better, and so on. So what changed and I think influenced the path a bit right now is to really block all that out. I think what we are working on, and maybe some other companies are working on as well, but there's no crazy secret to it. Everybody has the same challenges. We have great talent to work on it. And then time will show who is making the best short-term decisions along the way. But it's important to not get carried away by certain hypes who influence then some urgency, right? So it's rather having a longer time horizon, a bit more serenity in making decisions. And I think that is what I learned over the past years.
That's a really good insight. And you could say it another way, in a way, is, you know, stay focused on what you're doing and have confidence that you're going to get there if you keep picking away at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, of course, reading the signals if something's not going that well, right?
Yes.
So I think the other component, but you're right, yes.
Fascinating. Well, Franz, I tell you, you know, every time I've spoken with you, I've left with a little bit of a smile on my face. What you're doing is amazing, and we're so thankful to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Marcus.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Directly Speaking. We hope that you enjoyed the content and enjoyed the opportunity getting to know Franz a little bit better with us. Join us again soon. Have a great day, everybody.